Well, good morning. How are you today? How many of you had the opportunity to work outside last week in the heat? How many of you enjoyed that? How many of you are praying that God is going to send air conditioning this week? He already did last night. And he's supposed to again today. Wasn't that rain wonderful? Did it rain at everybody's house? It was wonderful. Wonderful. You could see the steam coming off the road. Just a wonderful thing. We're accustomed to it, but our brothers and sisters on up the eastern seaboard, right on up to New York City, have not done so well in the triple digits heat. It has been sweltering. And so we need to remember them. We get this every summer, but some of them don't. Have this sermon today and then one more next Sunday on spiritual gifts. And I hope you've had opportunity to go to the website and download. It's a Word file. It has the spiritual gifts inventory. Again, a word of warning about that. That is an interpretation. All of that in there. Now, not the scriptures that are there. That's the scripture. But all of that is there. That is a teaching. That is an interpretation. So you allow God to speak to you about that. Use it as a guide. It's a great indicator to see kind of where you are right now with your spiritual gifts, what gifts you have, where God has placed you in the body. And as we talk about spiritual gifts today and next week, something I want you to, this will really hammer this home for you. I believe there's been a misconception of churches and many Christian writers for years. I have many books that go into great detail about spiritual gifts in the Bible. And one of the big misconceptions, first of all, big misconception is that some of the gifts passed away after the completion of the canon of Scripture. That's not true. That's not what this book says. It does not teach that. It teaches all the gifts, including the sign gifts, the miraculous, are for today. And they are happening. They're happening in this city. They happen in our church. They happen all around the world. And they are for today. Another misconception about the gifts is that, in fact, most of the inventories that you look at, they give a description as the gifts are only to be used inside the meeting of the church, when the church gathers together. In fact, that's one of the ways. In fact, I did it for years. Here's you get your gifts. Okay, now how can you be used in the church? Well, that's only one part of it. The other part is when we're scattered 24/7. When we're out there where we live and where we work and where we play, for you to be allowing God to use your gifts there too. If you're in Kmart or Walmart or Kroger, or you're walking at the mall, to allow God to stir up the gifts in you and to use those gifts according to His plan and His purpose in the earth. Now, if you have your Bible, if you turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And John, go ahead and put that definition of spiritual gifts up there. Here's our working definition. By the way, this is our first sermon. If you want to go back on the net, and on our website, and find the sermon where we went through this definition phrase by phrase, gave you the scriptural backing for this definition. Here it is. Spiritual gifts are special abilities given by the Holy Spirit to every believer according to God's grace and design for use in exalting Jesus, edifying the church, that is, building up the church, and evangelizing the secular world. So if you get this, and this, right, you've got your definition of spiritual gift. Exalting Him, building up the church, evangelizing the world. Hey, And that's what we're supposed to be doing. That's 24/7. We're released from this place. We're all ministers of Christ. You believe that? You believe you're a minister of Him? There are places you go that me as a pastor, I have the office of pastor. Also, I have that spiritual gift, but you can have that spiritual gift of pastoring, shepherding, and not be in the office of pastor. There's a difference there too. But there are places you can go that I'll never be able to go in Savannah, Georgia. You know why? Because the people there know me and they know that I'm a pastor. And what happens when I come in the door? Well, that's a pastor. They start acting weird. And they say that's because you're weird, Dusty. But all right, turn with me to Romans chapter 12. And here's one of the key passages. By the way, three key passages. There are many of those we're going to look at. We're going to see the scripture references. And by the way, all of this stuff that I'm going to show you today is on the website in that Word document that you can download yourself. And again, I make the offer to you. If you are having trouble downloading that, we'll download it for you, get you a printed copy of that. Three passages, though: Romans 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. Those are the anchor. Those are the anchor passages. In fact, most of the gifts we're going to look at today in this comprehensive list are mentioned by name in those three passages. Aren't but a few of them that aren't mentioned exactly by name in those passages. All right, verse 3. Here it is. Get these cheaters on. Okay. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than you ought to think. Could that happen? You get feeling kind of frisky. Man, God's gifted me with these gifts and all. And I'm somebody. And yes, you are somebody, but you're somebody because Jesus made you somebody, not because you made you somebody. And there's a big difference between those two. All right. But to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. He has given to us the gift of faith. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. You know, that gift of faith, that even the capacity to be able to trust God, is a gift from God. So it's all of Him, none of us. Everything is a complete gift. Make sense? All right, verse 4. For just as we have many members in the body, what's he talking about? The body of Christ. And he's looking at it again. One of Paul's favorite illustrations of the body of Christ is like a physical body that has members, that has parts, if you will. One body, and all the members do not have the same function. We're different. Here's another passage that we're reading that says that same thing. So we who are many are one in Christ. Now, how can you be different and be one? Well, what is one of his favorite illustrations of oneness in the Bible? And the two shall become one flesh. Husband and a wife. So, you know, ask me that question again. How can we be different and be one? There's an illustration in the home. Two people who are very different from one another. Viva la difference. Dave got it. I'm glad Miss Audrey doesn't look like me. I just wanted to give all of you the chance to sin. I'm very happy about that. And you know, here's the other thing about it. She and I, personality-wise, are mirror images of one another. We're absolute opposites in every way. That's why, for the rest of my life, as God intended it, I will never get bored being married to Audrey. as she will never get bored being married to me. That's part of, and that oneness comes as God brings you together in one. He does that in His church as He puts His church together. And we're not just talking about the local body here, but we're talking about the larger body in Savannah. We're talking about the larger body in Chatham County, the larger body in the state of Georgia, in the United States, on the face of this earth. Oneness, as He puts us, as we quote that scripture from Esther a couple weeks ago, for such a time as this, God's brought you to the kingdom. Verse 6, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Gifts that differ. Have you already seen that? People have different graces, different gifts. And by the way, the word grace and word gift, they come from the same root word, charisma. That's where you get the word charismatic. And really, every Christian ought to be charismatic, ought to say he's charismatic. Because we believe in the charisma and the evangel Christ who through His Spirit gives the charisma to us. So we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us to exercise them accordingly, so that we are exercising our gifts differently. And when He's looking at the exercise of the gifts, He's not thinking about, well, that's just what you do in your meeting. You see, that's where the evangelical church, that's where the church in America has it all wrong. We think about, oh, we do all this stuff so we can get people into a building or get people into a meeting or get people to join our group. No, what He's trying to get us to see is that we need to break out of the building, break out of the meeting, break out of the group, and get into the world with the gospel of Jesus every day so that we have a phone. By the way, the job you have right now, you know why God gave you that job? So He could fund your ministry. Because you're a minister. One of the greatest networks, some of y'all may remember this testimony Doug Norman gave as he had been over to India. Fellow there, pastor, started out with just one little group of guys. Now, they're up to 163,000 people with thousands of groups, thousands of churches. And they've really taken ownership of this idea that everybody is a minister, that everybody's part of the plan of God. Okay, quickly we move on. He says then, if it's prophecy, if this is your gift, and He mentions that gift, do it according to faith. If service, in His teaching, or he who teaches, in His teaching. Or he who exhorts, let him do it in exhortation. He who gives, let him do it with liberality. He who leads, let him do it with diligence. He who shows mercy, cheerfulness. And there, just named a few of them as to how they are to be exercised. Now, we're very quickly going to go through a list of spiritual gifts that are on that inventory. So hold on to your seats, okay? Here's some descriptions. They're on that list. I encourage you to get it. Prophecy. Special ability to speak the message of God to the church through a yielded believer, given in the language of the speaker and the hearers. To speak forth, to tell forth the Word of God. That might be foretelling. But see, foretelling is a subset under forthtelling. It is God's Word, whether it's for right now or it's for the future. It's God speaking through you. This happens a lot of time when we're praying. We get in a group and you're called on to lay hands on somebody. And you lay hands on, and then you start to pray. And what comes out of your mouth? Sometimes things you weren't expecting. Sometimes God will just drop something in there. Well, that's God speaking prophetically through you. All right, go to the next one, John. A pastoring or shepherding, the other word for that. Special ability to assume a long-term personal responsibility for the spiritual welfare of a group of believers. Now, we tend to only think of pastoring as just the office of pastor. But here's a gift that many of you have this gift. What size group? It can be a group of one. Have there been people in your life that have pastored you as a single? Of course they have. They've exercised this gift in your life. Number three. Teaching, special ability to acquire and communicate spiritual truths relevant to the needs of the body in such a way that others will be motivated to learn and respond. We tend to only think of teaching as what's done corporately. Let me tell you, where most of the teaching takes place, it's not corporately. When does most of the teaching take place with you and your children? That's right. Might be at the dinner table. Might be sitting out on the front porch. It might be on the way home from the ballpark. You see that? And you have that ministry in people's lives. So I'm trying to balance it out here. Yes, you get teaching here when we gather, but there are many other opportunities for teaching. Let's go on to the next one. Wisdom, the revelation by God to men of a portion of His perfect wisdom that would not be otherwise known. Know anybody that's got the gift of wisdom? It just seems like. At times, that they can just, it's like God is speaking through them. It's like they've been thinking about this stuff for a long time. And they come forth with something. Anybody realize that about other people in the body? Of course you do. Because it's a gift that God gives. And it's not because they studied it necessarily. It's because God was speaking through them in that way. Let's go on to the next one. Knowledge. Revelation of facts or circumstance to an individual that cannot be learned from any human source. Has that happened to you in prayer? You're praying for somebody one night, and the next day you find out that the very thing that God revealed to you and said, you need to pray for them right now. They're in trouble right now. And you did it. You didn't know what it was, but you did it. And the next day or the next week or several years later, you find out. How many of you has that happened to before? You bet. That is as having a gift of knowledge. I'm encouraging you to walk in these. All right. Exhortation, special ability to minister words and deeds of comfort, encouragement, counsel to others in such a way they feel strengthened and helped. That's building up the body, not tearing down. Do some of you have, as you look around, do we have people in our church that do that regularly, that are real builder-uppers? All right, next one, John. Discernment, supernatural ability to tell the difference between gifts that come from the Spirit and those that do not. Don't we have some people that sound a warning sometimes? Watch out for this. To distinguish the difference. Do you see how we need one another? Let's go on to the next one, John. The gift of giving, the special ability to make and cheerfully contribute their material resources without selfish motives to meet the needs of other people to advance the work of the Lord. I've had the privilege of knowing several people in my lifetime that God's given them a great ability to make money and provide resources. And for some of these, I mean, they are just over super abundant givers. Like Mr. Dave founded Days Inn. Remember his testimony started out giving 10%, living on 90%. Toward the end of his life, God had swapped it. He was living on 10%, giving 90%. How about them apples? Let's go to the next one. Gift of help, special desire and ability to invest their talents in the life and ministry of other members of the body in order that those persons can be more effective in their service for God. These are often background people. People that then my wife is one of these. She has this gift. John Bonifacio has a gift, amongst others. They're back there. They're doing these things. They're greasing the slide. They're helping others. And it's amazing to me how little acclaim they desire in their lives. Because I'm guaranteeing you. You see somebody out front that's doing something, it's taken several people behind them to make it work. It's a team. What did Paul call it? It's a body. All right, go to the next one. Mercy, special ability to feel genuine empathy and compassion for individuals in distressed situations, to translate that compassion into cheerfully done deeds that reflect Christ's love and alleviate suffering. That gift of mercy. Do we need an overabundance of that right now in Savannah, Georgia? We sure do. People exercising, that is a gift from God to be able to. And by the way, we can't project our gift on others. Let me stop here and say that. That's a danger sometimes when we think, well, I've got this gift. Everybody ought to feel just like me about this. No, we're different. We're all building up the body and evangelizing the world, but there are different ways. Go on to the next one, John. The missionary gift. Special ability God gives certain members to minister whatever other spiritual gifts they have in a second culture. To go into another culture, that is a gift from God to be able to do that. To be able to do it effectively. Next one, John. Gift of evangelist. Special ability and desire to share the gospel with unbelievers in such a way they become followers of the Lord Jesus and responsible members of the body. Now, let me say this in regard to this gift. This does not alleviate the rest of the body from sharing Christ, because all the gifts that are given by God are to build up the body and to share Christ. So all the gifts are supposed to be evangelistic. But there are some people that it's like they have got a hyper spirit of evangelism on them. They can walk into a place and before you know it, they're sitting down, they're talking to somebody about Jesus. You know some people like that? That's right. Bless his heart. You go out there, the overpass there at Chatham Parkway, you see those flowers on the bridge and button, that's where Donnie was killed. So when you go by there, you need to thank God for Donnie's life and all the people that he shared Christ with, and pray that God will raise up a dozen more like him. Just like, go on to the next one, John. Hospitality. Special ability to provide warm welcome to those needing food and lodging, and make people feel welcome and accepted in any situation, to help others get acquainted with us. You see that? I know some of you think, oh, I don't have any gift. I just do that. And I know some of you that have this gift, and it just makes life wonderful for other people. Next one, John. Gift of faith. Special ability God gives certain members of the body of Christ to believe for and expect an extraordinary demonstration of God's power. We've got people in our church that do this, that call us out to this and say, you know, we just need to trust God. We need to expect God to do this. This gift of faith that's an overabundant. Next one. Gift of leadership. Special ability to set goals for the body in accordance with God's will, to communicate these goals to others, to motivate them to work together harmoniously to accomplish these goals for the glory of God. Leadership. Now, let me ask you. As we stop here on this leadership goal, this gift being operated in our church can't be operated in other places also? What did I say at the outset? That's where you have the greatest opportunity to do it, when you're thrust out from this place. To have God's hand upon you as you do this. Next one. Give them administration. Special ability to understand the objectives of the church, to organize these plans and accomplish those objectives, to execute these plans in an efficient manner, to administrate that. And see, even in these definitions that we're using off here, we need to add to the definition, because it's not just inside the church, it's the body outside of us. This gift of administration, to put things together. Next one. Gift of miracles. Supernatural demonstration of God's power that supersedes the laws of nature, to pray for and to see these things happen. Do we see these things happening? Is the gift of miracles happening in the world today? Yes, sir, around the globe today it is happening. God is doing it. But you know one of the places that happens the least in the world today? Do you know? Right here where you're standing. Because we've got the attitude we can buy our way out of it. We can just build our way out of it. But man, when you've come down to the point when you know, and this is always true, but when you truly know and realize God is my only way, and see God do this. See God stop the rain or start it. To see God do miraculous acts. And he does it. Healing, supernatural demonstration of God's power to heal sicknesses, injury, disease. You seen anybody healed? Now, I know in our body we have certain people that God seems to have blessed with this gift of being able to pray for people. And it's a wonderful thing. I'm praying God's going to raise up more. Raise up more. All right, next one. Tongues. The ability to speak a message from God through the yielded believer given in a language unlearned by the speaker. Now, I know some of you come off in different places on this, but I believe this is a legitimate gift for today. You can't just pick this gift out and say it's not for today. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's God speaking in that. And along with it is the next one, is interpretation. Ability to state in the language of the hearer the message one that speaks in tongues. And one of the scriptural references about that, somebody asked me a while back, said, I don't ever hear many people speaking out loud in tongues in your church. I said, well, the only way that would be appropriate out loud before the body is if you also had an interpretation. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Scripture teaches. And see, it is for today. You know, I personally asked God for this gift long ago. And it was a gift he didn't give me until about 10 years ago. It was a gift I practice every day. As I pray. Sometimes when some of y'all come down here as I'm praying in the altar. And it's like my spirit is praying. And I'm speaking in a language that you say, well, you don't understand. Understand by my heart. You know, it's kind of like a little child. When you've got a child sitting on your lap and you're speaking to that child, does that child actually understand the words you're speaking? Probably not. What does that child understand? The tone, what you're really communicating. You see, God can, that analogy will break down, by the way. But those are for today. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise hands how many have this gift, because I know many of you have this gift. I want you to know it's okay to ask God for any of these gifts. Next one, John. Gift of apostle. Special ability to perform a special task or work for the Lord. Exercise general leadership or ministry of the body, which is accepted and appreciated. And speak with recognized authority in spiritual matters. We see, In the early church, the apostles were out front. The word literally means is the sent ones. They were the sender outers, if you will. And to have this gift of being to send out others. And it is operative for today. That's what the Scripture teaches. Next one. Craftsmanship. Special ability to use hands to make, create, construct, repair what is necessary to further the work of the Lord and bring glory to Him. Y'all know people have this gift? You better believe it. We've got some folks have that gift. Okay, next one, John. We've got three more. Gift of intercession. By the way, before I say this, about how many of you think you may have the gift of intercession? Did you raise your hand? Let's get them up high. Let's see. Come up high. Okay. All right. I believe God is wanting to give this gift to many more in our body. Here's the gift. Special ability and calling to make petitions to God on behalf of others on a regular basis over an extended period of time, which results in specific answers. To pray. to intercede, to stand in the gap and have that kind of gift, to give that kind of time to it. And often without other people knowing about it. And many times not understanding all that God reveals to you about, but knowing that God is speaking. Next one. Gift of music. We have anybody in our church that has the gift of music? Do we? All this stuff. You know, these guys, you know, they pick that stuff up and they start doing it, and I'm going, trying to get it, you know. I mean, what a wonderful gift it is to the body, isn't it? Special ability to sing, play a musical instrument in such a way that the body is edified, Jesus glorified and exalted. Does that happen today through people exercising this gift? But you know what? That gift isn't just for in here, is it? It's for out there. All right. And the last one on this list is gift of serving. Special desirability to identify unmet task-related needs in the body. Make use of available resources to meet those needs, doing so with a willing and a joyful attitude. You see that? It's one thing to see a need. It's another thing to see a need and get the resources to do it. It's another thing to see the need, get the resources, and have the ability to put it together. And it's quite another thing to do all of that in a joyful attitude. Because sometimes that means you're unclogging a toilet. And that ain't pretty. That ain't pretty. All right. Now, I ask you on the thing very quickly, the next thing, is you could put your summary of your primary, your top three on there, and then put your secondary. You can do the math on those. And by the way, let me remind you that these gifts are not static. Hear me on this. Spiritual gifts are not static. They are dynamic. What does that mean? Static means you get a certain amount, that's it, it's over and done with, book closed. That's not how Jesus operates with these. Because that's not what 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says. It says, pray earnestly for spiritual gifts, and especially that you may prophesy. So it's something we need to be praying for and asking God that He would raise up gifts so that we could be used by Him in the kingdom. Now, last thing I want to put together for you is five steps to discovering your spiritual gifts. Number one, you need to explore the possibilities. We're trying to get you to do that through using this inventory. So you can explore the possibility to read those scriptures, to read those stories, to read the Bible, see what it says. Do that inventory and explore the possibilities of what God may be wanting to do with you. Secondly, to experiment with me as many of the gifts as possible. Hey, get out there. Experiment. That's why it's such a joy that we have a church that isn't just a corporate body, this large group, that we meet in small groups. And it's in the small groups and even in the smaller, our go-three groups or even a one-on-one kind of group where you can experiment with the gifts God has given you. Where you can step out. Well, I don't know if I have the gift of intercession, but let me pray. I don't know if I have the gift of discernment, but it seems like God may be speaking this to me right now. An experiment in a loving atmosphere. It's like you're working the trapeze with a net. Do you get it? Number three. You need to examine your feelings when this is taking place. How do you feel about it? Now hear me on this. One of my gifts is exhortation. And God uses that as I preach. He uses discernment. He uses other pastors. I didn't really see myself as performing that gift of prophecy, that prophetic speaking forth as a pastor is called on to do, and others in the body too, but especially that being one of the gifts the pastor would have. in a body. So he stands up before the body to speak for him. I didn't see that in myself. Others saw that in me before I saw it. That's something Rick was talking about, the power of words at our early service today. Now, so if you'd have asked me my feelings about that, well, I'd never done any of that. But I remember my first sermon. It was on Zacchaeus. I wrote it out on a 6x9 card in green ink. That was a watershed moment, that little group of believers that night that heard me, and I experimented. I had spoken a lot, but I just couldn't see myself as a preacher. But as I examined my feelings, I said, you know, because what happened in the middle of me doing that was that things came out of my mouth that I didn't have written down on the card. Next one, John. Evaluate your effectiveness. You know? I went in sixth grade to the music diagnostic and discovery seminar at my elementary school where they gave everybody the test. You know where this is headed, Gary. They said at the end of it, after they examined you and you got to sing a little bit, you got to take... All right, Julie, come on now. Come on. You got to stay in here with me now. Because you went to the same one, I think, got the same result. Can I get a witness on that? See, that's what happens to you. We love the Greek people the same as all that. They said, we'll get back to you if you show musical promise. I've told this story many times. You know what? Yeah, that's sixth grade, 11 years old, and I'm 55, and that's 44 years later, and they still haven't gotten back to me. You know what? I examined my effectiveness, and I decided that I like singing with other people. And I like to hear. But that, and I have a great appreciation for a musical gift, but I don't have it yet. And when my country and western career takes off, my children are going to be sorry. All right, finally, and expect confirmation from the body. I'll never forget in the loving congregation that I grew up in, the people that just came up and just hugged me as time went on, not just after that one preaching experience, but they, at other times, they, in the most loving manner, would say, yeah. No, they didn't say bless your heart, because bless your heart would have been, you know, you might not consider that. They said, have you thought about this? Or, I'm praying for you. My mentor, John Bean, when I was growing up, when I was a teenager, he was pastor at Savannah Baptist Center for many years. He, the power of words, he told me regularly, dust, God's got his hand on you, son. And I'm praying for you. He not only prayed for me, but he would, I'd go down and visit him sometime at Baptist Center on Sunday night. I'd be down there. Service start at 7:30. Get there about 7:20. He said, Dust, I just believe God wants you to preach tonight. And I did. And he prayed for me and affirmed me. Are you following me in this? I want you to get your heart around this today. I'm encouraging you to step out in faith. and allow God to use your gifts in your home, at work, in the body, for you to be the person God has called you to be. And all for the purpose of what? Exalting Jesus, building up the body of believers, and evangelizing the world. Let's bow our heads. I know today I put a lot of information on you. I meant to, because God told me to. I'm going to open the altar here in just a second. Maybe some of you would like to come and pray. Ask God, God, what gifts do you want me to have? Or today, as we went through that list, it's been a desire in your heart for one of those gifts or several. Ask God. Ask Him for them. He can tell you one of three things. Yes, no, or wait. You're not too young, you're not too old, and you're not too middle-aged. What's God speaking to you today? You see, every Sunday when we adjourn here, it should be the release of God's gifted people upon this city, upon this county, upon this state, going out in the power of the Holy Spirit with the very power of God to see God do things that only God can do. That's my prayer today. Maybe you're here today and you have needs. You need somebody to pray with you. Going through a rough time. I don't know if it happened for y'all, but Friday was a rough day for a lot of people. It was a rough day. Let's pray. Lord, right now, first and foremost, we want to say out loud, Jesus is Lord. He is Lord over all, and He is Lord of my life. We bless You today, Jesus. We ask You to come. Lord, for those who are downcast, who are distressed today, I'm asking You for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit to come. Come, exhorter of the brethren, the one who builds up. Come, Spirit of God, right now. Come in power. Come with Your presence. Come with great joy. And Lord, we're praying for the gifts. We're praying, God, that as You said in Your Scripture, and You give gifts to men, to women. We're asking You to do that. We're asking You for the power to come. Come, Holy Spirit. Come now.